I was amazed this past week after talking about wives submitting to husbands and husbands loving their wives and not being harsh with them. I didn't get any angry calls or any angry emails or texts. Thank the Lord. As Paul continues to teach about living out our Christian lives in the home, of course, he includes advice on our relationships with our children. Now, as we think about this morning, again, I want to highlight the fact that Paul has spent a big part of this letter to the Colossians talking about the false teachings that were going on in that day, especially amongst the believers in and around Colossae, and how they had misled the church there in Colossae, and how he wanted to get things straight. So he spends a lot of time criticizing those teachings and those teachers. But as he begins to wrap up his letter, he comes to these points as far as applying our Christian living in everyday life and in our homes. He addresses husbands and wives first, and certainly does not leave out children. And as we see here, there's just simply two lines here in which he speaks about children and fathers, not so much even in mothers. As he also speaks about this in Ephesians, I'm going to be referring back to that because he wrote both Colossians and Ephesians from his prison cell in Rome. So there would be a lot of content in both letters that would be the same. He spends more time on it in Ephesians. I'm guessing, as I thought about that again all this week, the only reason I can imagine he would do that is because there were more issues with these things in Ephesus than there was in Colossae. Maybe so much so that he didn't know the people in Colossae well. He had heard about them, had heard what kind of people they were. So he just simply gives some broad advice to them about wives, husbands, and children's. And children. Now, one of the things that I know a lot of us as young people, when we were younger growing up, and our young people today often say, when I grow up, I don't want to be like my mom and dad. Or when I grow up, I'm not going to be like my mom and dad, because they stand back with critical eyes watching what we do as parents. And they have a way of picking out things that they don't like and decide from an early age, I'm not going to do that when I grow up, or that I'm not going to be like them or be in the situation like they're in. But lo and behold, no matter how hard we try, for those of us that have grown up now and have children of our own, no matter how hard we try, we become our parents, don't we? We are our parents. There's no denying it. And some of the reasons why is because we learn through life by observation. There are just certain things that we do because we've observed them for so many years over and over, and we just do them because we see that they work. It's like this story about the family who, as they have their Christmas dinner or their Easter dinner, whatever it was, and every year, Grandma would cut the ends off of the ham before she would put it in the pot to put it in the oven. And as time went on and Grandma was no longer with them, and they were passing down this tradition, one day a little girl asked her mom, "Mom, why do you cut the ends off the ham when you put it into the pan?" Well, she said, "Because your grandma always did it." And actually, they ended up finding out that grandma did it because it wouldn't fit in the pan unless she did. So you see, we do things because we observe them as we grow up. And we see things happen a certain way, so we just do them. We do them because that's the way we've always done it. Secondly, sometimes the reason is that we become like our parents is because it's born in us. Genetics do play a role in things and how we act and how we, our mannerisms, so to speak. My wife tells me often I'm just getting just like my dad, and I tell her, well, she's getting just like her dad. So it's almost like her dad marrying my dad. And we kind of laugh about it and we kind of go on, and our kids are standing in the background rolling their eyes and saying, boy, when I grow up, I'm not going to be like you. And I say, you're going to be exactly like me. But at any rate, we laugh about it. But the parent-child relationship is so important, especially in our culture today, as it was in Paul's day. Especially so much so in the Christian family, the relationship between parents and the children and the parents. When Paul wrote to the believers in Colossae, he gives this advice concerning children and fathers. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't embitter your children, which means to make them bitter or to make them resent you. And the reason was you do this to please the Lord and not to discourage your children. And I think if there's any theology in this at all, as we go along, we have to understand as we see this, it's what pleases the Lord. So if it's what pleases the Lord, it's a command to us, so to speak, that children are to obey their parents because it pleases the Lord. So they have an obligation to the Lord to obey their parents. Now, I know that that's not always a good thing. Why? Because sadly, some parents are, how do I want to say this? They're not who God really wants them to be as a parent. And I'll get into that here in a little bit. But at any rate, when a child obeys their parents, they are pleasing the Lord. No matter how much so the child thinks the parent is wrong, the child has to obey the parent within certain parameters, of which I'll get to. And fathers, don't embitter your children or they'll become discouraged. And see, I think sadly today a big problem in our culture is our children are becoming discouraged. Parents, and especially fathers who are possibly irritated or agitated or angry because maybe they've lost their job or life's not going the way they thought it was going to be when they got to that point. They don't have as much money as they thought they'd have, and whatever the reason. And first thing they do is they start coming down on their children and telling their children they're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. Telling them what they can't do rather than what they can do. You see, and what does this do? It embitters the children and it discourages them. So children grow up in a situation like that, very discouraged that they can't do anything, that they are worthless. So I'm going to go back to Ephesians a little bit and talk about what Paul says to the Ephesian believers about this. In the same way, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This word obey comes from two words which imply under and to hear. In other words, what Paul is saying is, children, you are under your parents, so listen to them. And it's partially the same word that's used, or one of the root words that's used, when Paul says, wives, submit to your husband. Because in that order, you are under your husband, so you are to submit to them in that order, because they are over you, as Paul said, we talked about last week. So in the same way, he's saying to the children, because you are under your parents, you need to obey them. You need to listen to them in the Lord. Because it's right. It's the right thing to do. And herein, I think, is part of the problem today, that our parents are not parenting in the Lord. You know, we love to have grace. We love God to forgive us. But yet we aren't passing that love on to our children oftentimes. We're not gentle. We're not caring. We're not kind. Secondly, he goes on to say, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Obey your parents, honor your father and mother. Now, honor does not mean to bow down to them as they are king and queen. It doesn't mean that they are so right all the time that they're perfect and they never make a mistake. What this word honor means and implies is that the children are to prize or fix value upon their parents. To prize or fix value upon their parents. Many times children grow up looking at their parents like their parents have no value. I can't wait to get out of this house. I can't wait to get away from the old man and the old lady, so to speak. Why? You think it's any better out there? You see? And they have this attitude that's come from somewhere, that their parents are no good. And he's saying here, you need to value your parents Prize your parents. They're worth something. First of all, they're worth something because they're God's creation. Secondly, God's put you under them for a specific reason. It may not be a good situation in the house or in the family that you're living in, but still, they're your parents. They're your parents. And there is something good to say about everyone if you just stop for a moment and look. Why? Because it's the right thing to do, that it may go well. When we start to understand this, these were Gentiles that Paul was writing to, but he's referring to the Old Testament commands. The Jewish people knew this. See, they knew all about these laws. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Let's see. And then in Deuteronomy 5:16 that we read this morning, it talks about honoring the father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This was when they were getting ready to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. They went over the commandments again, see. And the purpose of this was to bring about a solid social structure within that community of faith, that it may go well with you. There's nothing worse than a rebellious child. There's nothing worse than a parent who is a tyrant. Children, obey. You're under them. Listen to them. Prize them. Fix value upon them. It's the right thing to do because when you do that, it creates a better sense of peace and structure within the household. There's one thing that really throws off that life within the home. It's when a child's rebellious. It's when a child decides for some reason that mom and dad don't know anything, that they know what's best, and they slam the door and go out the door into a world of trials and tribulations. And fathers, don't exasperate your children. This means to provoke them or irritate them or anger them, and this is what in many cases our problems are today. Notice it's not talking about mothers here. We say, well, our culture is different today. Well, that may be so, but the father here is biblically the head of the household. You see, and the father biblically is in charge of what takes place with the children. Now, as someone said last week, well, if I'm the head of the wife, I pass off some of that responsibility to my wife. She can do certain things. I'm giving those responsibilities to her. And sometimes we do that. We pass off the responsibilities as fathers to the mothers. Maybe we don't have time. Maybe, honestly, we don't know what to do, and the mother does. Maybe it's a situation more so for a mother than a hard-bearing, gruff father. I understand that. But look what the Bible says. Don't exasperate your children. Don't provoke them. Don't irritate them. Don't anger them. That tells me that what he's saying here is that the father is supposed to work to bring peace and understanding with the child and acceptance with the child. And the way that happens is, as Paul says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So here again is one of the problems in our culture today. When he says bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord, what he's saying is, fathers, you've been trained and instructed in the Lord. Bring them up in that way is one thing. And secondly, go to the Lord's word, go to God's word, and bring them up according to God's instructions. In other words, teach your children that God's word is the rule for living in our lives. And sometimes when we try and do that, what do? We irritate our children. Oh, we don't want to hear it anymore. We don't want to hear this Bible stuff, this church stuff anymore. And sadly, sometimes children become irritated because their parents make them go to church. They pound it in them. You're going to church today, whether you like it or not. You see? And when you push a child to go to church, they become irritated and angry. But when you invite them and make it welcoming for them, it's a whole different story. There's a lot can be read into this here. I understand that. And I understand that there's no guarantees here. There's no guarantees, because not only are some children rebels, some parents are rebels. Some parents believe, I own you, I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. That is the most ridiculous, heartbreaking, saddest thing a parent can say to a child. Because number one, they didn't bring them into the world. And yes, though they can take them out, God forbid they ever do. Because they're going to have that guilt on their backs the rest of their lives and throughout eternity. You see. There is no guarantee in all this. Paul's giving good advice here. It is good advice. It is good advice. And any of us that have had children know we can have 2 children, 5 children, and they're all different, aren't they? They all need to be dealt with differently. But there's some things here Paul keeps referring to. Children, you're under your parents. Listen to your parents. It's the right thing to do. And things will go well with you if you don't rebel. You need to find some sort of peace. Fathers, don't irritate, don't anger, don't provoke your children. Train them and instruct them in the Lord. Tell them about the Lord. Show them how it makes a difference in your life going to church every Sunday. Show them how God makes a difference in your life, what it means to you by example. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Say, well, I don't know my Bible very well. That's okay. Get it out. Read it to them. Pray with them. There's a story about a family who prayed consistently every time they sat down together to eat a meal. And one of the children had a friend that they would often bring to the house that didn't know the Lord, nor did the friend's family. But each time they would eat together, the family would pray with the friend right there with them. And lo and behold, as the child and the friend would be out on their own, and the child would be a little embarrassed to pray in front of the friend, one day the friend said to the child of the family that had prayed always, the friend said, aren't we going to pray before we eat? You see, folks, it does make a difference. People see us as Christians. They see us as parents. Our children see how we act. They have our genes. And I'm sure our parents were frustrated with us as adults, but we've turned out okay. And our children will too if we commend them to the Lord and teach them about the Lord and treat them like we would want to be treated and how God has already treated us in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to get into some things here in closing. Some of the problems today in our culture with this, why things seem to be going awry in our culture. In our culture today, number one, the parents are honoring the children. They're letting the children make the decisions. Do we want to go to church today? No, I don't want to go to church today. It's boring. Okay, then we won't go. The parent needs to say, if you don't want to go, you don't go. I'm going to church because I need Jesus. Or when the parent says, what are we going to do on Sunday morning? And the child wants to go to the sports fields instead of the Lord's house. I'm telling you, folks, it's making a big difference in our culture today. Parents are honoring the children. Children have a biblical obligation to Jesus. And I'm going to emphasize that as the Bible teaches us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, that it may go well with you. In the writing in Colossians, he says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children have a biblical obligation Christ to obey their parents and let their parents be in charge. Secondly, fathers don't take the responsibility or the authority which God gives them. Being a father is tough. It's tough being tough on your children. But in our family, I always said to my wife, if we spend the first 4 years of our children's lives being tough on them and being strict with them, number one, they're never going to remember it. And number two, it's going to make all the difference from four on. And I have found that to be completely true. Do we spank our kids? You bet we did. I brought home a new paint stir stick one day from the hardware store. And I walked into my house and the kids came running, "Dad, Dad, Dad." And I said, "Oh, look what I got." They look at it. And I said, "You know what this is?" And they said, "Yeah, it's a new paddle." But once they understood that they were not going to be beaten, they were going to be disciplined, it changed the whole complexion of our family. I didn't have to get the paint stir stick out. I used it to stir paint. We didn't have to get the spoons out of the drawers. There were no timeouts in our family. Because a timeout in a game just simply means, oh, we're going to stop and take a rest, and then we're going right back at it again. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible teaches on that too, and I probably should have gotten into it today. But when it's done in love, in the proper order, with the father as the head, and the father doesn't embitter or anger or irritate or provoke their children, but yet in love, they treat them like human beings, it makes a difference. And when the children accept the fact that their parents do know something and actually tell them that, it makes a big difference. It creates a whole different household. You see. I'm so thankful for my parents who were not perfect parents by some people's standards, but they were perfect for me. My father taught me how to tear an engine down completely and rebuild it from nothing to something to running again. He taught me how to ride motorcycles. He taught me how to say a few choice words. But it made a big difference one day when my son was working on his car. And he was having a problem. It was a minor thing. And he was just sure that it was a major problem. And I said, "No, Jason, it's not a major problem. Something happened when you changed the oil on it. Something didn't go back together right. And that's why it's leaking oil." So as we worked on the car the next day, and he tore the cover off of it where the oil filter was, he found out that the O-ring that seals it had been sliced by a sharp edge on the metal where it goes down in. And as we rejoiced that that's all it was, that it wasn't a bad engine, as he said to me, "Dad," he said, "how did you get to know so much about working on engines?" You see, it does make a difference. It does make a difference. The kids will understand, they'll grow to understand that we as parents do know something. And kids, your mom and dad do know something. They've been through some life. They've learned some lessons. And though it may not seem like they're the perfect parents, that life is always perfect in the household, that it's not father knows best, it's not Hallmark. We have to understand those are not realistic shows. We consider, first of all, who we are raising as parents. Who are we raising as parents? We are raising human beings. We are raising God's creation. We are raising the next generation of Christians. And we have a responsibility to God as we do it. I think sometimes we as parents forget that. That little baby, that preschooler, that elementary school child, that high school, that teenager, that college student. I think sometimes we forget this thing, this person, is God's creation that he's given to us. as a gift. And sometimes I think that as parents, we mature more through raising our kids. We learn so much from them, but they're a gift to us. And our gift back to our children is to raise them as Christians. And again, I say to people who often say to me, I don't want to push Christianity on my child. I want them to decide for themselves. And I say, for crying out loud, that's a huge mistake. Teach them the truth. Teach them the way, the truth, and the life, or they're going to follow what's false. And there's a lot of falseness in our world today. If we as parents don't teach them the true way, they're going to take the wrong way and have a head-on collision at some point in life. The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're older, they'll return to it. I am living proof. I stand here today as living proof that this is truth. If we train up a child in the way they should go, through love, through consideration, through acceptance, through compassion, kids don't have it easy. We need to love them and encourage them. Sooner or later in life, they will realize something will click in them, that there was something different when I was growing up. And they'll make their way back to that point, maybe in church, in a Sunday school class, to people who meant so much to them. As we train up a child in the way they should go, I want to close real quickly with a reminder about the prodigal son. There was a prodigal son. He was a rebellious thing, wasn't he? He wanted to leave. He thought he knew better what was out in the world. He wanted what was out in the world. He was going to leave and take his inheritance and go. And what happened? He got out in the world and he realized, it's not like I think it is out there. What did the father do? The father didn't tell him, you're wrong. You shouldn't go. If you leave this place, don't ever come back. That's not what the father said. The father gave him his inheritance and sent him off. And when that son found out that life isn't exactly the way he thought it was going to be and was ready to come back, the father was there with open arms, wasn't he? Because that's how Jesus is to us. So what Paul's saying here may not have a lot of deep doctrine, but it has a lot of good advice to us as parents and as children. That we have responsibilities, biblical responsibilities, to the Lord and to each other. And when we fulfill those responsibilities, life just goes so much better. It just makes a whole world of difference when we grow up. I don't think, I know, I never hugged my dad until we left where we lived right beside them 16, 17 years ago and moved away to a new community. 2.5 hours away. I didn't see them every day. And started to realize what a gift God had given me and my parents. And now it's made all the difference in the world. And I thank God that they took me to church. Thank God that they raised me in the knowledge and love of God. And thank God that he's given me this opportunity to share that. And we're raising Christians, folks, and raising our children. And for the kids here this morning, I want to just say one thing. You need to try and look at your mom and dad a little different. Because they do know something. They want the best for you. And the best that they want for you is Jesus coming here, being with us. Growing up as mature Christians to carry on the faith. Let's pray.